I'm gonna apologize in advance because I, like most of you, have the sniffles, so you're gonna hear a bit of that over the speakers. So I'm sure most of you have at least heard of when Jesus talked about the prodigal son, and so I'm gonna start my lesson just refreshing your memory a bit. In this parable, we have the family, the father and his two sons. You have the younger brother who messed up, the older brother who did the right thing, and the father who had to react to both sons. And you might find yourself relating to any one of them, whether or not you've messed up or you thought that you were doing the right thing or you've even had to deal with two sons like this. But tonight, I want to focus on one aspect of what Jesus said. And that is how the younger brother thought of himself. You see, in the beginning, the son, he takes his inheritance from his father, and he loses it. He loses all of it, doing not good things. And he ends up in a point where he has to be someone's servant, feeding their pigs. And at this point, he can't even afford food for himself. It's the low point of his life. It's rock bottom. And he comes to realize that he only has one place left to go at this point, and that's back home. Back to his father, who gave him so much, and he wasted all of it. But he knew that he couldn't live in this gutter, in the mud. You see, he didn't feel like he had any worth. He felt that he was unworthy. He thought if he goes back to his father, the only way his father's going to let him be, if at all, is if he comes back as his father's servant. It was his idea of penance, of to be his father's slave, because he knew he wasn't worthy. He knew he had everything and wasted it. He saw what he was, and he felt unworthy. And that's specifically what I want to talk to you tonight about, unworthiness and what it actually means to be worthy. We've all had low points in our lives, and we've all decided what we deserve. Even when it might be rock bottom or it might just be a bad time, we've all felt unworthy. It can cripple you, and it can bring your life to a grinding halt, and it can keep you from doing things that you love or achieving your goals, and it can keep you from doing what you're supposed to be doing here on this earth. Now, if you recall in Exodus chapter 4, early in Moses' life, of Exodus, before Moses goes on and does a lot of things that you're familiar with, when God first comes to him and tells him what he needs to do, his response to God is, "No, not me, Lord. Surely you could find someone better than me." This is the guy who's done many great things when we look back on his life, but he doubted himself. He didn't see his worth. He couldn't even go forward. He had to bring his brother Aaron with him so his brother Aaron could talk, because he felt that he was just going to mess it up. He told God, "No, send someone else. I'll just mess it up." And I'm sure maybe some of you might have felt in your life, I know some points I have, that whatever task you're doing, that possibly, you know, someone else could do it better than me. Someone else can do it. It's their destiny. It's not mine. Someone who's better at it than me. Or maybe you thought yourself unworthy of this blessing in your life. But these are our terms. These are how we feel about it. And God doesn't function on our terms. Another example, looking at Paul. Before Paul became a Christian, he was actively against Christianity. He was a very learned man. He knew a lot. And he persecuted the early church, so much so that early Christians feared him. Yet God called him out. God told him what he should be doing. And he changed his ways. But just think of all the books in the Bible that wouldn't have been written if Paul hadn't changed. I'm sure when he, it says in the scripture that a lot of the people were a little hesitant of Paul because of all the persecution and all the things that he was doing. And in their eyes, he probably didn't seem worthy. And maybe you might have felt this way, that you've done something in your life that's unforgivable, that when people look at you, all you can think of is how they're looking at you and what they think about you, and they think about how you messed up. But again, these are human terms. And again, God doesn't work on human terms. We all have this idea of worth. And we look around our world and we put values on things. We put values on people. We put values on objects in our lives, on choices that we can do. We even look at ourselves and determine our own self-worth. And you might look at yourself like the prodigal son did and think that you yourself are unworthy. You might even think that you are unworthy of God's love. You might even think that whatever sin or whatever thing is holding you back, that it costs too much, it's too great, and that the things that you've done in your life are so bad that nobody could possibly love you, that you think that you might even be beyond God's love. You might have even taken the blessings in your life and wasted them and felt, this is it, I've hit rock bottom. There's no coming back from this. And it's easy to feel this way. It's easy to let depression rule your heart and think of yourself of low worth. And it's easy for us to make excuses and just live in that. But why do we think of this way? Why do we think of ourselves in this way? Why do we think of other people in this way? Why are we like the prodigal son in the story, thinking ourselves so unworthy? Have things possibly gone so bad that we are unworthy of God's love? Are you anxious about these great sins that make you feel unworthy? I'm just going to read a quick thing from Philippians. It's chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, where it says, "Don't be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So there's no reason for you to worry. There's no reason for you to be anxious and to think that you are unforgivable or unworthy. You see, what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the prodigal son, he went back to his father even though he knew he was unworthy. He knew it in his heart that he didn't deserve to be his father's son, that his only choice was to be a servant. And he was anxious about how his father would feel. He had it all planned, what he was going to say to his dad, and his dad didn't even bother listening to him. What you have to understand is that your sins are not too great for God. You can pray to God about the sins in your life. Like it says in 1 John chapters 1, verses 9 and 10, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." And if we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Like the younger son, we can be forgiven too. But I've talked quite a bit about feeling unworthy. But maybe you might find yourself like the verse 10 in that John that I just read, that we claim that we have not sinned, that we are not sinners, and we think that we are worthy of God's love. And you might look at yourself like the older son and think of yourself worthy. But in secret, in practice, when you're out in the world, you sin and think nothing of it, claiming that you are a Christian, but still you chose against God and choose to sin anyways. You sin and you think nothing of it, claiming yourself this way. You claim that you're a Christian, but when push comes to shove, you go with sin. Even though God's calling you, you still shy away. Or maybe the desires and the temptations in this life are too great, and you don't want to let go of that sin, claiming to be one of God's people, but you can't give up that earthly pleasure that you hold on to. Here's one truth that you have to realize, is that God is all or nothing. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Or maybe an easier way to put it would be claim to be on a diet and in secret be eating cake, because you're lying to yourself. You're lying to God. And it's easy for us to put value on sin, because we look at sin in human terms. And we think that maybe a little bit of lying isn't so bad, or maybe being a little dishonest isn't so bad. Or we look at things in the world that we enjoy and we hold them higher than God. Now, if you read or you even heard about the Divine Comedy, the author Dante, he has this whole value system of what sins are. But that's a human story about human values. And God doesn't operate like that. To God, all sin, no matter how big that you're holding on to, that you can't let go and think that you're unworthy of God's love, or the small things that you can't give up, it's all the same to God. James puts it like this for us. Whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. That is how God views sin. Because God is love. God is life. And the opposite of God is sin. And sin is death. Paul writes this about sin in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. I'll read the whole thing. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, but you are under the law, but under grace. You see, salvation doesn't work the way we want it to. Sin doesn't work the way we want it to. And James, he describes sin in this beautiful way when he says this in chapter 1 of James, verses 13 and 14. Oh, sorry, I've actually skipped ahead. James actually says this, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Again, sorry, actually that was the verse I wanted to read. How he describes sin, when he said that desire is conceived itself in you and gives birth to sin, and when it is fully grown, it becomes death. In this way, he's describing sin like a virus or a disease, slowly creeping its way inside of you and growing out of control. That is why earlier when I read the Romans verse, Paul said, do not offer any part of yourself to sin, because it will grow inside you and it will become your master. You cannot overcome sin by yourself. You cannot overcome desire and temptation by yourself. You can't sin a little bit and think yourself fine. Because sin is like a drug, and you a drug addict. The desires in your life, they have control over you. They are the thing keeping you from God. And the devil tricks you, and he makes you think that these sins aren't so bad. He puts them in human terms, and we rate them and value them, so that way I'm not so bad, and I must be worthy of God's love. But really, when you let sin be a part of you, it is your true master, and it keeps you from a loving relationship with God. But there is hope when it comes to temptation. It's written, and this is a really good verse, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide you a way out so that you can endure. You don't have to let your life be ruled by sin, because God will always give you a way out. And you might not think that you have a way out. You might not think you're worthy of that way out. But it's there. So, if you think yourself unworthy because your sin's too big, or you think yourself worthy because you only sin a little bit, you're wrong. You must live a life without sin. You must live a life that God is calling you to. In Ephesians, it's written, put away your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and put on your new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In this verse, he's calling everybody out, specifically to Ephesians, but he's calling us to live our sinful lives behind. He's calling us to be transformed. And then in Galatians is written, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the fleshly desires are what contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. In these two verses, you're being called to transform yourself, to put away this old sinful life, and again, to not let this sin infect you like a virus. But there's one more thing I want to explain about worthiness and unworthiness. And it's one thing I want everyone to understand tonight. That there is no earthly way that we can be worthy of God's love. That there is only one way that we can be worthy of God's love. And then it continues in Ephesians. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we all are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us. You see, the only way that we can actually be worthy of God's love, or even have a chance of being worthy of God's love, is not by how or what we do in our lives, but it is by Christ's sacrifice. He is the thing that gives us a chance to be worthy of God's love. And there's only one thing keeping you from God's grace in this way, and that is you. Whether or not you're keeping on to your sins because you think you are unworthy and that you don't deserve God's love, or you think, again, that you are worthy, but you sin a little bit, you can be the best human being on this planet and still not be worthy if you don't have Christ in your life. Because sin, like a virus, like a drug, it is tempting and alluring, and it can cause the best human to stumble. That unworthiness feeling, that's the first step. It's the first thing to know that you need something more. We should all feel a little unworthy in our lives, because God has given us so much, and yet we still, like drug addicts, choose to sin. We should all think of ourselves like the prodigal son, because that is how God sees us, like the Father saw. There's no work that can save you. It's only grace. So what can you do in your life to be worthy of this grace? One important verse that I've kept memorized, and it's a good verse to keep in the back of your mind, and it's Luke 9, chapter 23. And I've probably said this verse in every sermon I've ever done. But it goes like this. When Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Because being a true disciple of Christ isn't easy. It's a daily act where every day we have to see the world around us, live in this world, and still choose to be Christ's disciple. Because sin and temptation are everywhere, constantly trying to get a foothold in our lives. Because without this attitude, without this daily look, sin can get into our lives and, like a virus, infect us. We are called to be transformed away from this old life and to try and to put sin and temptation behind us. But we are all humans. We will fail and we will stumble because we are imperfect and unworthy. But that is the reason why Christ died for us. Because God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We will never be perfect like Jesus. But the only thing that we can do is to transform, to leave our old lives behind, and to constantly, daily remind ourselves, trying to achieve that goal of being Christ-like, trying to be worthy of God's love. It's not an easy thing to do. Matter of fact, it gets harder and harder. But we are not alone. We have God. We have the ability to have a relationship with God. We have this church and this church family. So if you think that you are unworthy or you think yourself better, then you are the thing that's keeping you from having a relationship with God. And you are the thing holding yourself back. Now, if there's anything you need, remember, the family here is here for you. There are people here for you. Think about that. as we stand and sing the song.